Hello and welcome to Teaching English is Fun, the podcast for teachers by teachers. This is Jim, your host, and today I'd like to talk to you about military veterans. This is a little different because I myself am a military veteran, and this podcast was kind of inspired by my wife. She mentioned that I should do this just to let other veterans know, you know, there are other options out there, right? As you're leaving the service, sometimes it is difficult getting back into civilian life. I figure I have a page on my site, by the way, teachingenglishisfun.com, and I will put a link in the show notes, and you can follow along right there. This is primarily for my veteran friends, but if you know veterans, you have relatives who are veterans or who are in the service and maybe thinking about getting out, pass this along to them and let them know. Let them know about this. This is just kind of my idea of what I did, and maybe it'll have some useful information for them. Now, if you have recently left active duty, and you are thinking of doing so, consider teaching ESL, English as a Second Language, for your stepping stone to your next phase of life. The odds are that if you have been in the service for any amount of time, you've probably had the chance to be stationed overseas. So culture shock may not be that big of a thing to you. And your leadership qualities will serve you well in the classroom. If you're like me, the biggest problem is trying to relax in the classroom. And if things don't always go to plan, not getting upset. That was my hardest thing, is teaching children when I first got over there. But now, transitioning blues. Leaving active duty can be a shock to anyone, especially if you've been in for a long time. I worked in the States for a while after my transition, and although I didn't realize it, teaching turned out to be my calling. I was in charge of a classroom, and I didn't have to rely on anyone else to execute the mission. Now, if you don't want to teach forever, it can still be an excellent chance for you to prepare for your next position. It can also give you valuable skills and allow you the opportunity to see another country, or two, or three, while preparing for your future role. Now, before you take the plunge, I have a few things that you should think about, because some of these actually happened to me, and I just want to let you know. The first thing is reserve duty. I was in active reserves when I first got out, so it didn't even cross my mind when I took a job teaching overseas. My unit was activated while I was in the middle of a contract in Korea. I chose to get out rather than lose my current job overseas and have to leave the country hastily, because I would have had to quit my job there, come back to the States, then deploy from the States back over to Europe. I forget exactly where it was, but anyway, it just looking at it, it looked like a big mess. So I just decided to get out. Now, a way around this, and this is something I found out after this all happened to me, is to get in contact with a unit overseas. I found out later that there were units near me, and I could have served there and served out my remaining reserve duty and get an extra $500 a month. Depending on what your rank is, you know, you can get more or less, but as we know, every little bit helps, right? Now, that extra money all depends, again, on your rank and other factors, but joining a reserve unit can get you access to the post. It can get you all kinds of other benefits while you're over there. As right now, especially before 9/11, it was pretty easy to get on post with my ID card, but after 9/11, they clamped down on things and made it a lot harder to get, you know, into some of the posts and to be able to do things. So it can just get you access to other things, especially, you know, you can get a little taste of Americana even though you are working and teaching in another country, right? It's kind of a nice way to go. Now, you may need to make sure that you're going to a country that has military bases to do this, so check around before heading over. depending on where you're working, you might have a little problem with training as well. University is probably the best place to work where you can have ample time for training with a unit as well. I worked at a place called KDLI. It's the Korean Defense Language Institute. They're not really officially affiliated with our DLI, but they actually... they use some of the same textbooks, and they actually have a contract, I think, with the Air Force DLI to use some of their textbooks in training over there. And their program had a rotating cycle of classes with breaks in between that would probably give ample time for training. For example, if you have to do 2 weeks of training, or you know you have to do this weekend once 1 week in a month. It was pretty nice because normally we didn't have Saturdays as well. So that was pretty good. Now, let me go ahead and I'm going to go into some other things here. But before I do, let's just take a quick break and listen to some of our sponsors. Welcome back. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is the top secret clearance. Now, you want to make sure that the country that you're going to be teaching in doesn't have any restrictions or dangers for you if you go there. I chose Korea partially because we already had troops there. Some countries you may not actually be allowed to travel to. Others might pose a danger if they know you're an American, especially an American soldier. So even in South Korea, I had times when there were protests. I had some gangster try to pick a fight with me right in front of a considerable group of anti-American demonstrators. A lot of my Canadian friends actually made a point of plastering their backpacks and clothing, everything they could, with both Canadian flags and those big red maple leaves so that everybody knew that they were Canadian. Because this was back when George Bush was president, and there was a little bit of American anti-American sentiment in the States and or in Korea, and so I was kind of shocked when I came back from I think it was my winter break in the Winter Olympics where I think we're going on, and it didn't help that I think Ono had something with a short track, and there was some altercation between him and a South Korean skater. And anyway, it was just another log to add to the fire. Oh, and then also there were two girls who had gotten killed. They were actually run over by a Bradley fighting vehicle over there at that time. So needless to say, that all added to a little bit of a hostile environment to be an American there. But, you know, the only thing I've got to add on this topic is just be aware of your surroundings, right? Try to stay out of any areas that you are known to be dangerous. Unfortunately, I chose to live in a cheap rent area, and although my rent was rock bottom, I had to fight for my motorcycle before class one morning. Some drunk guy actually grabbed my backpack as I drove by, and I had to use some of the prison arm locks that I learned while I was working in the prison as a teacher in Arizona. They taught us some basic self-defense moves. Actually, I helped out the instructor there, and we learned these different arm locks and, you know, wrist grabs and holds. And so I had to kind of hold him and get my keys back because I wiped out and was on the ground, and it was a big mess. Needless to say, I was 30 minutes late to my class. My students all thought that I overslept, and that's why I was late to class, but nope, because some guy attacked me early in the morning. So now, I noticed him out of the corner of my eye, but up until then, I had really not had any problems with anyone in Korea, so I didn't think anything of it. Don't be like me. Always be suspicious of everyone, and that's kind of what I've learned. Especially being back in the States, if I see some guy like that, I'm doubly leery. But even though the country may seem safe, you never know, right? So always be aware. Now, by and by, most of the teachers that I worked with and most of the people that I knew never had a problem over in Korea. Unfortunately, I'm just that type. You know, when I was stationed in Germany, I almost got into a bar fight there. In fact, I think I did get into a fight outside of a bar at one time, and that was fun. So the nice thing is that I never had to worry about getting shot at or anything like that. Korea is actually a very safe country, except for, of course, North Korea. Right? You know, you always have that danger of an invasion by North Korea. But I think for the most part, most people don't. They don't even think of it. It was on my mind when I first went to South Korea, but the Koreans themselves don't even, like, in their daily routine, they normally never think of North Korea. Now, it changed when I went to the Korean Defense Language Institute, and I was teaching there. Those guys, of course, their mission was being prepared to fight North Korea. So yeah, it was a different mindset, and it was kind of nice, actually, because they had some of the same thoughts that I had, because I had been privy to some intel when I was in the military, and I knew what North Korea was capable of and what they were planning on doing, and if they had a chance, they would do. So they were also all aware of that stuff, and so it was kind of nice, because you know, I don't know, some of the college students have this very rosy, like, outlook on things. They wanted to join hands and walk across the border. Believe it or not, I actually read that in a college magazine while I was over there. So, what has North Korea done to us? They haven't attacked us. I think this is all a plan by the U.S. And they were talking about joining hands and walking across the border into North Korea. So, anyway, luckily, I nobody's been that stupid to try that, but there are those who think that, and actually some of those things that are on the college campuses are spurred on by spies that are in South Korea, right, from North Korea, trying to egg on the college students and foment, you know, all sorts of problems like that, much like we're having here in the States, right? A lot of these things, you've got your useful idiots who keep pushing different narratives, and it's all based on stuff that is actually meant to cause disruption, much like we have right now. Well, moving on for this thing, the next thing I want to talk about is having an exit plan. As you guys know, you know, if you're in the military, you always think about, you know, your A, B, and C plans. So no matter where you go, you should prepare to leave early, save money, and try to think ahead about what you're going to do in the future. I actually left quite suddenly. It wasn't like super sudden, but I was pretty lucky to have had about 20 years of money that I was that was being put aside for my eventual retirement over there. Yeah, if I turned 60 over in Korea, I would have gotten, it's just like Korean Social Security almost, and I would have gotten a retirement pay. We have an agreement with Korea, the United States does, that allows us to collect our Korean Social Security and take it with us. Now, my British friends weren't so lucky. I don't think they have any kind of agreement like that, so they were just out all that money. They still had to pay it in taxes, but they were never going to get that back if they left the country. Now, if you're a veteran from another country, you should probably check on the laws that pertain to you. And if you're not a veteran and you're listening to this, thanks for continuing to listen. And also check on those things. You should just check what the laws are that pertain to your country and everything else. I'll see if I can't add more things like that on my site. I know I went to a lot of different places for those things. So let me go ahead and get out of here. Okay, I had to hastily leave the room right there. Let me go ahead and continue here. So, also, every country is different, so I can't speak to other places. This, however, leads to my other point. If you have friends, network early. If you don't have any friends or contacts back home, then apply early and often. Have an A, B, and C plan. I am here working on this blog because my plans were all bust. But by the grace of God, I was able to find a great job. I'm working in a field that was very different than what I originally had planned for. And although my way was not that difficult, I have heard many horror stories. My friend Robert, who I actually have an interview with him in my podcast, I think it says interview with Robert, is doing pretty good. And my other friend, Mike, was also, I think, able to get a teaching job after coming back. And I have heard of others who used up all of their savings to feed their family, and they wound up taking a job that was beneath their station or kind of beneath what they had planned on doing, right? So prepare for the transition back home far in advance. In fact, my friend Robert, who I talked about, he was actually working for Save-A-Tree for a while, you know, just to work and just to make some money. So, you know, it can be difficult when you first come back, right? You may have to do whatever it takes to pay the bills, right? So you should plan ahead and try to have an alternate plan just in case that first plan doesn't go. All right. Now, if you're like me, you go overseas for what was going to be 2 years, and then 20 years later, you're still working abroad. I have some friends who are actually still working and living abroad to this day. It all really depends on you. I really loved working in Korea, though, and I would do it again if I had the choice to make. I can't say every day will be a piece of cake, but it beats living in a foxhole or low crawling on a muddy field while an E7 pushes your face in the mud. Right, if you're thinking about it, do it. Take the plunge. If you have any questions, you can leave a comment on my page at teachingenglishisfun.com, or you can email me directly at jim@teachingenglishisfun.com. And thank you and good luck. And like I said, if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to let you know what I went through and some of the things to be aware of before you go over there. All right. Thank you.